everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has given us the best counsel that we could possibly receive. Every time he speaks with love. And he thinks of everything. He considers all. He wants everybody to know him. He wants everybody to join in on the blessings that he's doing. He came to bless us all because his love is great and he's for us. But there's an enemy out there that's against us. And if the enemy can turn people's heart, he will. Remember, God is holy, folks. And he hates sin. He hates it. Sin will tear up creation. Sin is pointless. It consumes. It destroys. That's the reason he hates it. Now, when he set out to build the kingdom, he did it properly. He thought of things that would destroy. He thought of things that would bless. And he ordered the things that would bless. And there's no reason for sin. There's nothing that sin can offer you that's better than what God has given. But when people, the Lord gave us a reference in Isaiah chapter 5. He did everything right. He planted a field. He planted grapes. He did everything to protect it, to keep the foxes out, to keep things, to make it go smooth. And he put it in the middle of the world. And this is Jerusalem. This is Israel, the nation. And he planted grapes. And then there came up wild grapes. And then he had to destroy it. Now, if the Lord do things out of love towards us, and we respond in hatred, he has to do something about it. There's no reason for hatred when God loves you. There's no reason for Satan's rebellion to even exist in the first place. But people change their minds. And mankind is no different than the angels. Angels did it first. They just decided to, rebellion was forming. Lucifer was created to counter it. But then he fell and then they fell. So he's the father of lies. Now, because of a lack of knowledge, people think that Lucifer is next to God or next to Jesus. That's not true. There are several classes of angels greater than he is. He made five statements, and you can consider those five steps to be greater than God. That's what he was trying to do. He said he'll be like the Most High. But he was coming from the angle of pride, not love. And the Lord once told me that power without love is death. If you have power and no love, that's death. That's what Satan is, death. Everything he touches, he destroys. He uses it for his purposes, which is a debt to gold. And so Satan's influence, that's why God's going to leave people that wouldn't make up their mind to come out of the world fully. He's going to leave them here when he raptures the church. He's not going to take any form of sin to heaven. We have to be pure to enter the kingdom of God. And we're purified by the blood of Jesus, which also means that we have a choice. We can live righteously or we can live worldly. We can believe God or we can believe a twist of God's word, which is nothing but a dressed up life saved in religious, with a religious mask on it. Now God loves us, and he has to come back. He has to return. He did everything to make things right for us. The Holy Spirit was given to guide us into all truth. We don't have an excuse. If we believe on Jesus Christ, then we want to do the things of God. And there's no law, because if you have love in your heart, you don't need a law. You fulfill the law by your love. When the reference of the hot church is the church that loves God. The reference of the cold church is those who love Satan. Simple. We'll say it again. The hot church are those who love God and His people. And then the cold church are those who love the world, which is headed up by Satan. Now, Satan has different facets in the world system. He has a political system, a religious system, a rebellious system. And, you know, some people, they just rebel. They don't want to do work. That's the first problem when people are lazy, when they don't want to do something. The first thing God said, if you have a heart of love, He told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So He was given dominion in the first place. And the Lord showed Him how to order it. If you have power, you have to have love. Or you have destruction. Or it'll end in destruction. The wages of sin is death. So if you have power and dominion, and you don't have love, then you don't have purpose. And if you don't have purpose, you don't have direction. And without direction, you're trying to serve yourself. Whatever makes you happy at whatever cost. All right? And what will happen to your kingdom, it will fail. If Adam loved God, the earth would look like Adam. It would be, if Adam was thriving in his full capability, the earth would too. Because he had dominion over it. We bear fruit after our kind. Whatever we're over, it turns into what we are. If you take a man and that's over a business, a bank, if he's in charge long enough, the whole bank will take on his personality. I'm talking everybody that works under him, the good and the bad. That bank will take on his personality because he's calling the shots and people are trying to do what he say do. And they'll get used to it, it'll get in their habit system and it'll take on his personality. And if you get a new CEO of the bank, he's in charge now. Over time, it'll take on his personality. And let's say he gets a secretary that's domineering and starts telling him what to do and taking orders and telling people what to do. If he doesn't say anything about it, it'll take on her personality. Whoever's in charge, that's what the whole thing will turn into, that person in likeness. So it is with your family. So it is with your job. So it is with churches. If people follow, if they're looking to Jesus, they're taking on his likeness. That's why my message was so powerful and people didn't know it. Follow God. See, if you follow God, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If you follow God, everything will be put to order. And you'll be able to do things that normally couldn't be done. But if you interject your own ways into it, the whole church will be like you. And if we labor, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. So we have the authority on earth. We have to put the Holy Spirit in charge of our life. We have to give the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to Him. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, then our ministry will take on his personality because we're looking to him. But if you order it out of your mind, it'll take on your personality, what you approve. Now all your deception comes with it. All of your, whatever you lack, it's in there too. But see, when you're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you're steadily learning and growing, and you're changing and developing, and you're doing things better and wiser. You're getting you, You start, the Lord, you can see how to weed out, how to drive out all the satanic interference, everything you believe that's not true, all the habit systems that's not working. They're being, you're purging it out, and you're looking to Jesus, and whatever God gives you to do, it causes His perfect will to rise up. And people see it. They see you obeying God. They see you obeying God. They see you changing. And then they learn wisdom. They're seeing, they have a visual of what it's like to obey and follow God. And then they change. And then their families change. And then their friends change. It just goes on and on. People who hear, see, when you give a word, people live that word. They see you change. They see you. They know you. They're looking. You're looking at Jesus, they're looking at you. And then they'll see you looking at Jesus. You're talking about what Jesus is talking about all the time. And then they'll start looking to Jesus. It happens in stages. But if your heart is not set to love, God is not going to work. Nothing's going to work. Even if you reach a certain point and stop looking at God, it's still not going to work. But if you look to Jesus continually, then it'll work. You'll be most blessed, not just partially blessed, but most blessed. And you'll see the handiwork of God unfold over time. You'll see God move in your life. You'll see what happens next as you continue to obey God. And it's good. You're gonna love it. He'll be able to add to your ministry. He'll be able to add to you. He'll be able to show you things to come. He'll be able to help you in every way of life. It's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. So when I first got called to the ministry, I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. Even if I read the scripture, it didn't register. See, scriptures have to register. It has to get in your heart. It has to become a part of you, who you are. So when I read the scripture, it started registering as I continued to read the scriptures. That it's not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord don't build a house, they labor in vain, because there's too much that we have too much interference in our lives. There's so much we don't know. And our only hope is, for growth is to look unto the Lord. But when a person is saved, the Lord's not looking at your works. He's looking at the blood of Jesus. So as long as you govern your life according to His wisdom, you're fine. It's going to work. But if you start looking at how you think, how you feel, what you want, and you put that above God, it's not going to work. Can't. Satan knows the place that he has. He knows the areas of life where you've not conquered, he knows the areas of life where you still lack knowledge. Now, it may be dormant, but it's keeping you from going forward. You may not be sinning and acting on the things that you never dealt with. But he can use it against you. There are places that we just don't have skill. Our faith, the result of our faith is the way we measure it. The way we measure the Word of God increases continually as we yield to the Lord, as we watch Him. That's why it's so important to yield to the Lord. That's the only way to kill mindsets, deceptions, habit systems, old habits, new habits. That's the only way to kill ungodly habits and mindsets. And then the next chapter, after you deal with it yourself and you have a mind to follow God and do things the right way, then the next challenge is the people around you. They have mindsets and opinions. And they have mindsets that cause them to dodge you as you grow in the light. Because every time you grow in the light, of God's word, you force people to be in Pilate's seat. You're putting them in his position where they got to make a decision about Jesus. Even Christians, when you live the light, when you go forward in the Lord, you're showing them a better road. You're showing them a better way of doing things. And hopefully they're inspired to do the same thing. But if they're not used to it, it's like a challenge to them. That's why iron sharpens iron. That's why we need each other. Now, if their full intent is to grow, then they'll adapt. They'll adapt and do things the right way. If they love the world, they'll have conflict. And they'll be, they'll feel challenged. And they'll have to make a, they'll have to go and do some digging and search in their heart and make change. If they love God, they're going to easily change and go forward. See, the hatred of this world makes no sense. People can't let things linger that shouldn't be there. Some people excuse themselves to, they came from a background where there was a lot of fuss and they had to talk loud to get their point over. And they would, they'll even use foul language if pushed in a corner. And they're Christians. And they don't go around acting like that. But they didn't deal with the things that used to be. Some things have to be driven out of our lives. And we come to the Lord like we are, and he works with us. And the Holy Spirit will guide us. Now, if your heart is soft enough, he'll convict you of when you sin. Or he'll show you areas you got to grow in. That doesn't change your state of being. That doesn't change your salvation. But if you want to live a better life, you're going to have to adapt. And you can't allow sin. You can't act on the sin. But you don't have to go around on the verge of acting on sin. That's what I'm saying. You can strengthen your heart in that area. You can drive old opinions out. Some people say, I'll fuss them out. You don't have to act like that anymore. You can learn to respond like Jesus. If you're looking at him, it's going to happen anyway. Now watch this. I started growing, and I thought about something. I said, you know, I remember when the temptations was a problem. The way the enemy tried to tempt me with women. And then I asked the Lord to show me how to defeat it. Because I like, you know, that's the heart of Christ. You know, he's depicted as a lion sometimes. Lions don't let things rule them. They judge things, they look at it for what it is, and they assess how they're going to conquer it. That's what lions do. That's how they eat. When I see something, when I see satanic activity, I'm thinking, and my first thought is, I'm going to kill this. And I study it to see how I'm going to kill it. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter whether it's small or big. It's got to be killed. Goliath has to die. So, instead of looking at how bad the temptation was or the problem, I looked at the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to kill this. I don't know how. I was honest with God, and I told him how. I said, I don't want to fall, and I'm not going to let Satan defeat me. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but show me how to do this. I know I have authority over Satan. I know what you say. Help me to be like you. I didn't know how to do it at the time. And I started acting on every scripture I could find with diligence. And then when he said, don't fear falling, everything clicked. Everything I had been learning just came together in that one moment. And I knew what to do. See, when the Holy Spirit says something, in the spirit realm, a few words can mean books of knowledge. Because when he said, don't fear falling, a lot of information came with it that I couldn't even put in words. But I knew what to do. And I saw women in another way. I saw him like I wanted to see him. I wanted to love my wife and see all other women as sisters, and I had the power to do it. And it was easy. I said, man, this is good. This is cool. And I laughed. I rejoiced because it worked. And it's still, I don't go around on the verge of temptation. Women that would appeal to me, they just people. I don't know how, it's spirit and it's life, the word of God. So I decided, I said, well, everything that's not like God that I hadn't dealt with, I'm going to kill it. I want to purge it out. I want it gone. I'm going to drive it out of my life. Now, I gave God an analogy. I said, Lord, I don't smoke. I hate cigarettes. I hate the way they smell. When the enemy come with anything, I want it to end up in my eyes like cigarettes. I can't be tempted with cigarettes, and they're repulsive to me. I don't like them. Now, I love people that smoke. That doesn't bother me, but I mean, that's what they like to do. As far as it's a sin or not, that's a Holy Ghost problem. You have to deal with the Holy Ghost on that if you smoke. But my daddy smoked. God loved him. God used him. He smoked pipes and cigars. In his culture, in his world, that was not a problem. Some people think it's a sin to drink coffee. I drink coffee. Some people say it's a sin to drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol out of choice because I see what happened to people that do. Those are things I don't go around telling people that they can't drink or this. That's a Holy Ghost problem. They need to go before the Lord and deal with it. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't like cigarettes. It's a personal thing with me. I don't smoke. I don't want to shorten my life. I saw my aunt die when I was around 7 or 8 years old, and mama said that she died of lung cancer. And it just left an impression. I said, I'll never smoke. And I used to wish my daddy didn't. And he was a good man of God, but he smoked. And he learned from the Lord, and he kept smoking. He didn't quit. So I don't have a problem with what people do. If you think it's wrong, if you've been taught it's wrong, that's between you and your conscience and the Holy Spirit. And you have to go get it cleared up with Him. Because I don't think it's wise. I know I don't think it's wise, but I can't say it's a sin, and I can't judge whether it's a sin or not. Even though if there are scriptures to prove it, then the Holy Ghost will help you with that. But I love God. I love His people. And I hate cigarettes. That's the point of all this. I hate, for me, I hate it. I can't be tempted. Satan can't come and tempt me with cigarettes. So everything else that's of Satan, I want to have the same. I want to have the same resistance against it and not be tempted with it. But the only way to grow from glory to glory is to love God. If you love God, it just happens. That's why people have great success and they don't know why. They don't know how. They just love God. And they keep doing what He say do. And they seek Him. And their life works. Easy. But what the Lord did with me, He showed me mechanically how things work. He taught me systematically how all this works. And some people do it by happenstance, but I teach people to do it on purpose. When you love God on purpose, you live with purpose, and you grow from glory to glory in a much faster way. Now, some people order their lives by love, but if they ever stop loving God, they'll stop the process that's making them successful. You can't have the world and the ways of God and still have God's success. If you start loving the world somewhere, you're going to become an enemy. You'll become God's enemy in that area. That's why we have to purge out the things of darkness. Jesus said, if you bear fruit, I'll purge you that you'll bear more fruit. So if you're looking to him, he has something to work with. But if you love the world, he don't have something to work with. That's why the things that attach to God, he's going to take it with him. He's not being mean. He's using discretion. He's protecting his creation. Because if you try to bring sin to heaven, you're a threat to creation. You're a threat to the way to life. You allow something to be in your heart that will grow. You don't, just because you go to heaven, your opinions don't change. You have to get rid of those dead opinions now. And if you don't, and if God took you to heaven, which he won't do anyway, your opinions will be up there. And they're not, I mean, we're going to be changed from glory to glory. We're going to see him as he is and be purified. But you have to have the heart of love. Without the heart of love, it will not work. That's why five virgins had oil in their lamps, and the wise ones and the foolish ones let their oil burn out. They let their love dry up. But those who love the Lord, they will outlast them all. I'm out of time, and they'll be taken in the rapture. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Win the warfare. Fight the good fight. Fight till you win and live in great victory. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.